Life.
Love it. It feels very festive. Now I actually feel the Christmas is coming.
So some people like to feel like they're freezing or they're sliding on ice. Or perhaps they just like to shovel. Maybe they get a chance to actually ski in this stuff and have some fun. Maybe a wicked snowball fight. I hope somebody's having fun out there. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America tonight. Just how cold is it where you are? It's very chilly in our satellite facility in Dallas, Texas. A very chilly 40 degrees. Now, at the mothership, Matt Johnson is running the controls. He's the maestro pulling the strings. He has the most important job at the network. And Matt, I'm wondering just how cold it is in Minneapolis.
Right now, it's 1 degree. Just one.
1 degree. I love it. Wow. I feel better that I'm 39 degrees warmer. So.
Yeah, you have summertime weather down there.
Yeah, if you live in the Midwest, especially you in Minnesota and in Illinois and in the Dakotas even, there's a couple of other places we could throw in there as well in the mix. I know that you laugh every time any of us complain when it's like 30 degrees or 40 degrees. I guess it depends on what you're used to.
Yeah, that's the Minnesota March outfit weather where you wear the hoodie with shorts on.
Yep, winter weather. You got to love it. 1 degree and snow all over Chicago. I got a note from my cousin today with a video playing in the snow with the dog, and it was coming down, and a lot of people in Chicago were stuck inside. It was just that massive amount of stuff. In Albany, New York, I know many of you are listening to us there. 12 inches, they say, the one report that I just read a short while ago. So mounds of snow piled up in certain areas in New York and New England. It was a wicked weekend where a foot is, that's pretty big. Some of the main cities, Kennebunkport, where the Bushes go on vacation, they have a home there. 14 inches. 14 inches. Exeter, New Hampshire, 13.5. So highway traffic, probably going to be a little tricky for some in those morning hours, and some of you third shifters who are listening, very tricky if you had to get into work. Massachusetts, they say they are probably going to use about 10,000 tons of salt because of how many cars are going to be going over certain highways. They realize how treacherous it'll be. And that speed limits on most of the major roads, that's what they also do. They dump the speed limit, make it lower, 45 miles an hour or so. So but a lot of people watching the Patriots lose to Miami were watching that stuck someplace in their abode. They didn't venture out to the sports bars or to where they would normally go. And FedEx even, I've hardly ever heard this, but FedEx said that the winter weather and the massively high winds had big, big effect on their services. Major disruptions at the headquarters in Memphis, Tennessee, that because the shipments are going to be delayed for where they're going. Like I mentioned, Chicago hit hard. That snow over the weekend was pretty heavy stuff, so it was tough to shovel it, and some people put it off. And, you know, when you get all of you who are veterans of this, realize and understand this, but some of us who aren't, when it first happens, when you're in that blizzard conditions, you have to get out there and shovel. Otherwise, you have a really scary scenario in your hand where you have door up to the, I mean, you have snow up to the door, and you've got to figure out how to get out and do all of that and have somebody else help you and dig out. So you have to keep an eye on those snowfall amounts when they're talking about what I just mentioned, the 13 inches and whatnot. It's craziness if you're not out doing something about it or people aren't out there plowing it. Coming up in this hour of America tonight, we are going to do that conversation with MJ Green. She was a subcontractor in Afghanistan, spent 3 years there, came back with a wicked case of PTSD and almost was blown up by a suicide bomber. So what's it like to be on the other end of that? She says she couldn't believe some of the corrupt things the company that she was working for did. And she'll talk about that as well. So things are really winding down in Afghanistan, we think anyway, because Hamid Karzai is pulling the strings there. And we're not really sure. We got that bilateral agreement. Is it stuck in the drawer somewhere? Has he finally signed it? So far, he has not put his John Hancock on it, which doesn't make it valid. It makes it more difficult to figure out the withdrawal situation and who's in and who's out, because the United States totally punts this, which they would have to do if there wasn't an agreement. Then everybody else, NATO-wise, certainly would have a full court pullout. And Karzai, I am certain, wants some of the troops there and wants the money that he gets from the U.S. government. I can't imagine that they would just push that completely aside. Find that hard to believe. Sad story heading into the weekend. Another school shooting. This time, the shooter was upset over not getting to make the full debate team event, and it was simmering apparently in his head. At least that's what we hear. He went to school on Friday with a shotgun, Molotov cocktails, had the bullets across his chest, went in, a shot went down the hallway, and sadly got one of his classmates, somebody who he had no beef with, and somebody that, by all accounts, was just a wonderful girl who is still, by the way, alive and fighting for her life, 17-year-old Claire Davis. She was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this is a school that is close to Columbine. In fact, just miles separated from Columbine, which happened 14 years ago. So what is it that makes somebody, whether it's not making the debate team or whatever it is, that just completely unravels somebody enough to go to school and decide, I'm taking that teacher out. That's what I'm going to do. So she's in a coma. She was shot point blank, and no word as to, you know, was she surviving this or not. And of course, the kid who went into the school shot himself as they got closer to him, which usually is what happens. So as soon as anybody was close enough to him, then that was it. He was going to take himself out, and it didn't take long. And I guess the good news is nothing happened to anyone else. And the teacher / librarian was forewarned right ahead of time, so just ran out of the school. But how awful is that for the family of 17-year-old Claire Davis, who's a senior, who just was in the wrong spot when he happened to shoot, looking for this teacher. And, you know, we'd sort of know the why, because the kids say it was not making the debate team, that he was a super opinionated kid, didn't understand why he wasn't going to be traveling, wasn't going to be there, turned the gun on himself. So you see the familiar scene of the kids running out of the school with their hands up. How awful, awful is that? And that was part of what you had to say in the mailbag. We're going there next on America Tonight.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
And in the beginning of next week, we'll be talking about the top stories from 2013, plus get ready for those resolutions the following week, politicians and what their resolutions should be. That'll be part of the fun. And fruitcake, yes or no? I don't know. Do people really still give people fruitcakes for gifts? I know that they're still making them. And there are some companies that are making a fortune making them, so somebody likes the fruitcake. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't like it. Maybe I've never had a good fruitcake. I'm not sure. So many of you emailed me over the weekend, particularly about this sad situation in Colorado. So without further ado, let's go check the mail. All right, so in checking the mail, we have the story about Carl Haverson Pearson, the 18-year-old kid who was after the librarian slash teacher, who went into his Arapahoe High School, that's the name of the high school, Arapahoe High School in Colorado, and was on a mission to get the teacher, but couldn't find that person because they were warned, the teacher knew he was the target. He left school to try to encourage the shooter to leave school, is what the sheriff is now saying, and said tactically that was great. So, sadly, this was on the eve of the Newtown massacre, and it's just a reminder, once again, why this violence in American schools? And the sheriff identified the 18-year-old by Friday night. They already knew. knew he had Molotov cocktails when he went into the school and had the shotgun and whatnot. One of those Molotov cocktails went off. Students were walking toward the school's running track with their hands, boom, in the air. That's what the television footage was being pumped out of there because they, you know, he went into the building and then they were all running out. And neighborhoods were jammed with cars because parents were hysterical trying to get their kids, trying to find word, whatever. And they locked down other schools in the area because, boom, as soon as that happens, now this just sets off that shockwave. And this was just 14 years ago when you had the two teenagers that killed 12 classmates and a teacher at Columbine High School before killing themselves, if you remember. And gun control and schools has been a heavy, heavy tug of war in the Denver, well, in Colorado, in the Colorado area. So here those two schools, ironically, are close. Just awful to see this happen and to see that somebody is now in the hospital who may not make it, might make it. You know, certainly our thoughts and prayers go for that family because that call must have been just an awful, awful call to get, like a shocking call. And they say that the kid was dedicated, bright, was from a religious family, went to a lot of Bible study meetings, and the people at the school couldn't believe it, that it's just a normal middle-class kid, family as far as they knew, and he was so upset about the debate team and not going on the debate deal that that's how he reacted. So, and this is a school that had about 12,000 kids in it. And that's got to be an awful feeling where all they hear is there's been a shooting, the school is locked down, Arapahoe High School is locked down, and then you've got parents that are just, boom, they're off to the races. Because that's all they know. Doesn't your kid go to that school and then they're out of the door, out of the business, out of wherever, frantically trying to make their way down to, down to the school to try to find where their kid is. All right, here's one from Carl who says, shocking what happened in that school. Here we go again. Kate, I think, and you've talked about this before, why shouldn't teachers who want to be armed be armed? If they're really good and they're cleared and they know what they're doing, why shouldn't this be what we do in the United States? I mean, too bad it has to happen, but frankly, I wouldn't want to risk any more of these kids' lives. What do you think? Oh, I think we're not going to have teachers with guns in schools, whether it's a good idea or not. I think the thing that you hope for is that you have armed guards in the schools, like one or two, depending on how big the school is, at least one. And certainly you have to have some kind of an escape measure, and the teachers have to know what to do. I mean, not more than just, oh, I think I hear a noise and there's screaming, or I mean, they have to know what they're going to do. How do they lock that door off? Is there something they can do to prevent anyone from getting in? What's an escape measure? That kind of stuff. What can we do? How do we get out of there? Seriously, like a fire drill. But a fire drill where you're avoiding the person with the gun. This one is from Mel. He says, Kate, I remember all too well the whole Columbine thing. It was terrible. I remember the one kid sliding out of the window. I think that image sticks with me the most. And I guess you never know what kids are troubled. They seem smart and good and whatever, or they're antisocial. Everybody assumes it's always the antisocial person. But in this case, I've been reading that the kid was anything but that. So who would have thought that that would have happened? I guess you never know a kid's trigger or temperament, and they didn't know that at the school. Yeah. But what are you going to do? Also go in classrooms and assess, well, geez, who looks like a kid who could, if we say the wrong thing or he gets the wrong grade or she gets the wrong, who looks like somebody that would come into school and do us harm? They start to have meetings about that, then it's really over. Then we're really, really at a ridiculous level. This one from Michael. Michael says, I heard the thing about the school in Colorado. I heard that it was close to Columbine. I really feel for the parents of the girl. It's a terrible, tragic situation. Whatever makes a kid snap like that, who knows? And he's also dead. So there's no way to really pick his brain, so to speak, since he's not around to answer for what happened. Thank goodness it wasn't much worse. That's all I have to say. Yeah, thank goodness it wasn't much worse, because he had plenty of ammunition and he could have done that. It could have been a situation where he was just shooting people, just upset and just shooting people, and that wasn't the case. He had somebody specific in mind, and then somebody ended up getting hurt in the melee and the crossfire of it when he was hunting that teacher down. And I think by trying to move out of the school probably was smart, like the sheriff saying. Unfortunately, it doesn't do much for the parents of the girl who was hit. We move to something different. This one from Jake, who says, Kate, did you see the 60 Minutes NSA deal? What did you think about that? I know you're always bagging on General Alexander, and boy, he seemed pretty sure there is no way, if Snowden comes back to the United States, that he should get amnesty. Yeah, he's the head of the NSA. What was interesting about that 60 Minutes interview also was that General Alexander said he offered his resignation when all of this happened, because they had to change so much to the tune of millions of dollars because of Snowden, what they called scraping the information. They didn't want that to happen again. And he said he took classified documents and that he shouldn't get amnesty, but not all of the NSA folks thought that. Some thought that he should be granted amnesty, and that some were considering that was being discussed, that they could give him amnesty in exchange for the documents that he has, that he took from them. But he's aired most of them. So many of them have popped up in the newspapers and then spread from there, because he seems to feed it to the Daily Mail in London and the Washington Post. But amnesty, I don't believe, would have any support of the State Department. I doubt it. It's been a kind of a wild 6 months. Remember, the Snowden thing really happened at the tip of the summer, and that's one of the biggest stories. I talk about the fact that we're going to do a year-ender where we talk about the big stories in 2013. Could there be any story bigger? Snowden, certainly one of the newsmakers from this past year, without a doubt. All right, we're going to introduce you to MJ next here on ATN.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze-Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com. or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Subcontractor in the middle of Afghanistan working for an organization that you realize is corrupt, and you have daily tests that, yep, jeopardize your own personal safety and freedom. Well, we're going to talk to MJ Green. She's in our virtual green room. She's got a new book that will blow the lid off, I think, some of the things that happened in Afghanistan, certainly in her case. It's called A Conflict of Interest. MJ, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. It's a pleasure.
So let's talk about this. Tell us the details. You were the general manager of a NATO subcontractor in Afghanistan, as I mentioned. Tell me about, you know, when you first got there, your first working on, as I said, those daily tasks. When did you realize, oh, my gosh, this is not what I signed up for?
You're absolutely right. Look, you know, everything starts off as the usual items of business. And, you know, slowly but surely I realized that things just didn't add up. And it took time, and certainly some of the areas of business that were not part of our contracts came to light. And, you know, part of what I uncovered was my superior selling alcohol in the black market, which contravened with our contract with ISAF and of course, Afghan laws. So, you know, this was something that became obvious as time went on.
So when you found out about the alcohol and stuff, did you, like, poke around and say to someone, hey, what, you know, should we really be doing this? Or did you kind of not say anything, watch the lay of the land, what was happening, and then thought,
absolutely,
wow, I can't do this?
I, I did. I had to watch the lay of the land, and I had to really find out, who was behind it. And that's the scary thing about it, because you really don't know who's who in the zoo. And, you don't know who you can trust around you. And I really had to use my, my moral compass to guide me, in and out of situations as they came to hand.
Yeah. And now, of course, being a woman in a war zone like Afghanistan, what was that like?
Look, it was incredibly challenging. Obviously, being in a male-dominated environment, that posed some challenges in itself. But once again, you've got to assert yourself. You've got to be strong, and you have to have the courage to stand up and fight for what you believe in. And that's something I learned. And being general manager of my business, I had a whole team on the ground that relied on my support and my courage. And I had to be strong for them as much as I had to be strong for myself. So it was really about, building those close bonds, those close ties with your people and being there to support them and yeah. Nurture them on a daily basis.
Yeah, the team on the ground. Tell us what did you do? What were you contracted to do?
We, the subcontractor that I worked with, it was a whole gamut. And, we did everything from supply chain to food service to fuel. And part of my role was to oversee the retail operations on the ground in Afghanistan, which also included alcohol. And, this was one of the things that I was responsible for. And, it involved 26 locations throughout Afghanistan. So It was quite a large business unit in itself.
Wow, 26 locations. How scary is that, moving things around in Afghanistan? I just have this visual that's frightening.
Look, it did pose some challenges, but, it's like anything. You become accustomed to it. You rely on your third knowledge or your third eye, so to speak. And you have to be hyper alert and vigilant at all times, because you really don't know when there's going to be danger. And danger is always, not far off. So you're constantly, being aware of what you're doing and changing your movements, on a daily basis. There was never a normal routine, because it was too dangerous to have a normal routine. And a lot of my work involved traveling, by car as much as flying in and out of some of the more remote locations in Afghanistan.
What was the scariest thing, MJ, that happened to you when you were over there? And I guarantee there's a few of them. But what was, to you, if you were boiling it down, we're at a party and I say to you, wow, you were in Afghanistan. I can't believe these things happened. I can just imagine. What's the most frightening thing that happened to you?
Kate, I think, to be honest, one of the most nerve-wracking incidents was my close call with a suicide bomber.
Oh.
That actually happened quite earlier on in the piece. I was only in theatre, and in theatre means in a war zone. For those of the listeners that may be not familiar with the terminology, and it was actually during a period of Eid celebrations, and I had a very close call with a suicide bomber. And luckily, my assistant who was with me had actually seen the suicide bomber a lot sooner, and we swerved and missed him detonating on impact. So we were very lucky, but it was a very surreal experience, and I can tell you it's never left my mind.
Oh, no kidding. How long were you in this situation? How long were you tied up as a subcontractor with NATO?
I was with the company as general manager for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Three years.
So 3 years in Afghanistan. You are kidding me. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
What about I'm always curious about this, because I've heard from soldiers and other people who have been in Afghanistan. The one thing they said is that, the one thing that most of them have told me is that the people, I mean, if you actually could get down to it and had any interaction with the people that certainly weren't trying to harm you, that they were pretty nice, and that they even if you couldn't communicate, that in some of these villages and some of these remote areas, they were really interested in trying to forge a conversation or to meet you. Did you find that? Because now you're busy working and you've got all these locations, but did you have any interaction with the people?
Absolutely. Yes, I did. In fact, I had my own driver was Afghan, and he was actually the former assistant for one of the former presidents of Afghanistan, Dr. Najibullah. And, you know, I forged a bond with a number of, you know, Afghan employees that worked for us. And it's very important because they're like anybody else. You know, we're all human beings and we all come, you know, we're all on the same planet. And it's really important to be able to relate to these people because they all have something positive to offer. And, you know, they've gone through a tremendous amount of hardship, you know, 30 years in a war zone. You know, you've really got to support them because they're part of your team as well, and you rely on them. You know, I relied on my driver in many situations, and you know, I really needed him to be on board because you know, often, you know, it would be the difference between being safe and being in a danger. So, you know, things like that, you really have to forge a strong bond with these people and understand where they're coming from. You know.
Yeah, how do you feel about, now you see as everything's winding down in this, once I guess this agreement, we'll see if he signs it, Hamid Karzai signs that bilateral, signs it, then that's it. And how do you feel about, you know, the whole pullout of Afghanistan and knowing how you really valued your driver, your Afghan driver? Do you think the people, it rolls back to what it was before, or do you think that that the needle has been moved forward a little bit by what's happened in the conflict?
Kate, I don't think we will ever fully withdraw from Afghanistan. I think there will always be some kind of presence in Afghanistan. I think it's too important not to have that presence for a number of reasons. Whilst we do see the drawdown happening now, we're not going to see 120,000 troops, but there will be some kind of representation, and I think that's really important. I think it's mutually beneficial for all parties concerned, and I would like to think moving forward that there will be a way where somehow we can see some stability happening in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of factors that come into play which impact on the reasons why we aren't seeing stability in Afghanistan. And, you know, you're absolutely right. When you do forge a bond with people, you want to see that these people do have not just hope, but they do have a future. And it's a peaceful one.
Yeah. We're speaking with MJ Green, and the book is called A Conflict of Interest. And MJ, for you, you come back and you talk about this. You've got definitely right on PTSD. What was that like trying to at 3 years and trying to get back into what we would call maybe a normal life?
Kate, it was very difficult. Obviously, my experiences in Afghanistan contributed to me suffering from PTSD and tremendous amount of anxiety, sleepless nights, recurring bad dreams. One of the reasons why I wrote this book is to help me heal and to be able to share my experience with other people. You know, that's part of the process. You know, my book is about, you know, living and working in Afghanistan. And, you know, one of the things that you want to be able to do is inspire others to stand up and be counted and not be frightened to stand up for the truth against corruption. So, you know, all these things have been very important to me. And, you know, I can tell you that I really have benefited a lot from being able to pour my experiences, you know, into a book.
Yeah, and what a book. MJ Green, I hope people pick it up. Conflict of Interest. You can get it Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, wherever really books are sold. You can grab in those two areas. MJ, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
According to the FBI, close to 400,000 burglaries take place in the United States between November and December each year. Seems burglars shop for the holidays too, for easy targets. Here are a few things that you can do to lower the risk of a break-in. Lock doors and windows. Don't have newspapers and mail accumulate in front of your house. Don't announce your travel plans on social media. And plug in fake TV. Burglars love the dark. Fake TV is a bit like a light on a timer, but more convincing. Plugs into any outlet and simulates the colors and movement of a real TV. Burglars will see light and movement and likely move on to easier targets. Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and makes a great Christmas gift. Or it's perfect if you're traveling over the holidays or anytime. So before you leave your house looking like an empty, easy target, order Fake TV today. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Everybody likes to keep track of the president's, well, vacation days. So a big story in the Washington Times on Sunday was that the president's family are going to leave D.C. December 20th for 17 days in Hawaii. The White House announced that over the weekend. They're going to leave next week and count up those days of snorkeling sun and whatnot. So then the question becomes, as it was in the Bush administration, how many days and how much money? For his first 3 years in office, the president rented a $24,000 a week plantation estate because there was security and privacy and all that other kind of stuff. Last year, they did the same thing, and they're saying this year it's probably going to be a similar thing. It's probably going to be the same place where they're going to stay for those days that he's there. $24,000 a week and 17 days for the Prez. Look for that to be a big story coming up the next week or so, counting the days and the golf and everything else in between. I wish there was a way to keep track of that from the first president on, if we were going to use some kind of a measuring stick that way. That'd be an interesting way to do it, wouldn't it? Go back to the founding fathers and figure out how many days they took off and then add them all together and then figure out, well, what are taxpayers paying for through all of those years? All right, the Fed has a great chance to really gunk up the works. What else is new? Here's the scoop. there's a possibility the Federal Reserve could finally trim its stimulus for the economy, and it could make an interesting time with the financial markets. They're saying at this point, when the central bankers meet, which is December 17th and 18th coming up, one of the things that's going to be suggested is the all of the domestic economic data that they're looking at is saying it's the beginning of the end of their bond buying program. It's probably going to come to an end a lot sooner than later down the road. It would reflect growth in confidence of the global economy, I suppose, if they do that, and the withdrawal of the flow of what they call the cheap dollars. But it would be a shock in the recovery for the U.S. So think about this. Retail sales, jobs, services, all of that combined. Some economists say that the Feds will announce a reduction in that $85 billion a month in purchases on Wednesday. So that would be a big, big, big news if they do it. And we'll see what it is. The U.S. Central Bank policy decision should happen on Wednesday, a week before the Christmas holiday. In fact, it's Ben Bernanke's last press conference as Fed chair, and he's going to stress they believe that interest rates will remain low for a long while, not at all mattering on whether the what happens with the quantitative easing program or if it's shelved or not. Quantitative easing basically means let's print money, but we have nothing to back it up. We have no idea how much we're printing, so it is basically monopoly money. That's what it is. It is monopoly money. Peter O'Toole died, and he might not be, he's pretty iconic in his day. He might not be someone you know. He might be somebody that you're familiar with. He was in The Last Emperor. He did a lot of classic movies like Lawrence of Arabia, a lot of those kind of films. The Lion in Winter was a big one, My Favorite Year. And Peter O'Toole, not too long ago, was at the Oscars for a character role that he was involved in. I can't remember the name of the movie now off the top of my head. What's New Pussycat? That's another one that he was in. Big, big, big actor in the 70s and probably in the 80s, too, as well. But he still popped up in a lot of character roles. But absolutely, Lawrence of Arabia, if you see the old photos of it, it's pretty wild to see them. So he's dead at the age of 81. Peter O'Toole. I have no idea he was even sick. I don't remember reading anything about that. This is a big story for China and just in general when we're talking about exploration. Check this out. China's Jade Rabbit broke a 40-year lunar mission dry spell. And so what does that mean? So for the first time, humanity has an active mission on the surface. And it's the Chinese Space Agency's version of it. They landed their Chang'e 3 spacecraft on the moon Saturday morning after the spacecraft performed what they call a precision soft landing in the northwestern part of the face where they landed. It's basically a wide sea in the moon's northern hemisphere, what they did there. It rolled down metal ramps to put wheels into the dust. How about that? And so they're breaking that spell. That counts. The last lander to touch down on the moon was Russia's Luna 24, which returned in 1976. And the last rover to roam the surface was Lunokhod in 1973. I hope I'm saying that right. So how about that? Wow. That is a little bit of a dry spell, you'd have to say. There's a lot of renewed interest suddenly in the moon and space and whatnot because, one, our program is mothballed, this shuttle's done, and partially because of the movie Gravity, people are wondering what's happening now with NASA and what are they what are the plans? What are they working on? What's the future? I'll tell you what the future is. The future is going to be private rides. That's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be the Elon Musk, rather, who are going to have the rockets and whatnot, and it's just going to be hitching a ride or watching and using some of what they're doing, and not so much really launching things or developing those programs that NASA, using NASA engineers, yes, but I think it would be interesting to see the privatization part of that because of the expense of it. This story was a great story. This is really what I would call a daily salute. And it has to do with a woman who survived three nights in Alaska by burning her snowmobile and huddling with her small dog. 57-year-old Vivian Mayo, they found her about 1 a.m. on Wednesday. She was under the burned-out part of the hulk part of the snowmobile, and she was cuddled up with Elvis, a small brown dog. She was hypothermic and needed medical attention, but the dog helped, they say, preserve her body heat and probably saved her life. She and her husband traveled on snowmobiles to a cabin, which is mostly, they say, gravel, and the highway that connected the two paved highways wasn't maintained during the winter, so it's not open to cars and trucks. So that's what they believe happened there. He went to the cabin, the husband, by snowmobile to check on a trap line, and he hadn't returned by Sunday, so they weren't due back. You know, in Alaska, you really keep tabs of your friends. And her snowmobile didn't get very far because she broke down a mile from the cabin. And, you know, that's what happened, these crazy temperature dips, like minus 20 degrees, and she didn't have any mobility, and so she burned, you know, had to burn the snowmobile. And luckily they were able to find them, so, wow, that's crazy, all those days, and the dog was truly part of the reason why she was able to escape that. Man's best friend, woman's best friend, too, apparently.
For 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.